Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Hello, how you guys doing? And the worship was way better than you're making it sound right now. I said, how's everybody doing? God's on the throne. He takes everything that the devil tried to mess with us and try to get us out of here and try to make us get all those mosquito bites over 4th of July, trying to use that as an excuse not to come. And he is turning it for good, right? Amen? Okay. I'm excited to be here. I hope you're excited to be here. We made it through 4th of July. Hopefully all of our limbs are here. And fingers, digits, and not the bank account, though. Am I right? Jeez. Oh, man. That's crazy. But we are here, and tonight is, my name's Tom, and if you don't know my style, I was thinking about it today as I was putting some stuff together, and I was just thinking, man, I just have my own style, and it is what it is. And so if you don't know my style, I'm going to challenge you right out the gate. I'm coming for the men. I'm coming for the women, and I think that covers everybody. So it's going to be something that hopefully, I'm not trying to beat anybody up. That's not the goal, but it is essential that we would raise the bar on what it is that we think is what God desires, because that's what we're going after. And so we are in the book of Acts, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 16. If you have your Bibles on you, please turn them on and open up to Acts chapter 16. You catch that? Is that good? 2022. It's just the world we live in. So I don't want to show of hands, but man, I got bit up on 4th of July. I did not get that cream out, citronella, Carolina, I don't know. The stuff you're supposed to put on you to make sure that the bugs don't get you. I didn't get it on fast enough, and it's on the best location of my body. It's my feet. And so as you just walk around, you just kind of feel it. But other than that, I'm good. I hope you're good. And, you know, we have this thing called social media that we use. And the video that I put out for tonight, it was a challenge of hopefully encouraging you guys to pray for not only me in speaking and sharing what it is that God has wanted me to share, but praying over the worship team, praying over the prayer people that come up at the end to pray with you, praying for all of our pastors, all of the people behind the scenes and, you know, in the back room, running cameras and all that, because the last thing that the evil one wants is for us to be serving the Lord to whatever capacity. And, you know, just even because on our end, what we're doing is we're praying for you guys. For those of you that come and join and those that are online, we've been praying for you. We pray that whatever circumstances and situations that you're in, that you would hear God speak to that tonight. Because I don't know what your expectation of a church service is supposed to be. I grew up Catholic, so you don't have any involvement whatsoever. You just shut up and just go through it. You stand up, you kneel, you stand up, you kneel, you get the Jesus, you stand up, you kneel, and you're out. And so maybe that's your expectation. If that's the case, I do want to just remind you that Jesus died and rose again for a relationship with us, to build a relationship with us. And so tonight, you know, for those of you that are not in the front row, the chairs in front of you have pencils and little like information cards. And if God does speak anything specifically to you tonight, that stuff is yours to use, to write down. And I literally, that was my bookmark here tonight, was we have a prayer night on Tuesday nights. Wow, what a fail. Oh, it's right here. But I that's how I write stuff down. Camera one, can you get that? You see that a little bit? I know. Okay, good job, camera one. But it is, I mean, we just use these things because we're not smart enough to I mean, it's all right there in the smartphone, right? Like the companies knew it. They're like, they ain't smart. We'll give them the thing that helps them to be smart. And so writing stuff down, putting it in your phone, writing it down, putting it in your journal or bringing a journal or putting it in your Bible, whatever it is, what we're supposed to do here on Wednesday nights is to literally just be with the Father and respond to what it is that he's doing. And that's what the worship side is for, is to kind of prime you, get you ready, because we just connect as human beings through music. And now where we're at is like, okay, God, I just got done singing all these songs. You take what the enemy meant for evil, you turn it for good. I'm gonna believe that now. And I'm ready for you to speak into the situation and circumstances that I'm in. I have been at church and I've gotten exactly what I've wanted out of it. When I just wanted to get through it, ladies and gentlemen, I made it through it. When I wanted a place to nap, ladies and gentlemen, I napped. But when I came in and needing God, and I go, God, I don't care who speaks tonight, I pray that you speak through them. That's exactly what I got. And so tonight, my prayer for you is that would be the same prayer. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how seasoned you are. I'm starting to get gray hairs, so I think I count in that category. And then I'm young enough to connect with the younger people. So I win on that end. And it's something that I want to encourage you that tonight, please don't sit there and judge me. Just let's listen to what God wants to say. Let's open up scripture together. And we only got 5 verses tonight. You're welcome. You're welcome. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 16. I'm titling tonight Pioneer. If you don't know what the definition of pioneer is, it's a person or group that originates or helps open up a new line of thought or activity or a new method or technical development. Another definition is one of the first to settle in a territory. That last one's a shorter definition, so I'll say that one again. One of the first to settle in a territory. If you guys have intuition, you kind of see where I'm going already. One of the first to settle in a territory. Did you guys know that we are supposed to be pioneers? We are supposed to be the first of our, whether it's your generation. Some of you might have, come from a Christian home. And so maybe you kind of feel like I'm just another one of those. Well, in 2 Corinthians, if you could put that up in the back room, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation. You're brand new. You're a new creature. So just because mommy and daddy raised you right and you never got to have a testimony or whatever that is, no, you are still a new creation in Christ Jesus. There's still more that God wants to do through you to change your world, to change your family, to set a new example for your grandkids, for whatever it is. Even if you're 20-something, you now are in a place where God is trying to do more through you to set up further generations. That's just what God's trying to do. Every single one of us, we are pioneers. Now, Jesus is the example, obviously. We're trying to be like Jesus. But have you ever had like a really good day? And you're like, oh, dang, this must have been what it's like to be around Jesus. It's me. Absolutely not. That is not, it's not even close, but that's why we have Jesus as our example, as our advocate, as the one who went before us, the author and perfecter of our faith, and he is the one that we go, hey, you are the goal that I'm trying to get to, and I didn't get there today, so I'm gonna start over, I'm gonna do this again tomorrow, and I'm gonna try, and I'm gonna be better than I was the day before, and I'm gonna be better than I was a month ago, and a year ago, and this is where we're at today. I wanna read you something before we get into Acts chapter 16. It comes from actually this company called Pioneers USA. Pioneering is about leaving the familiar to chart a path for those who will come after. It's about doing something today that will resound 40 years from now. Because pioneers have a vision for what is yet to happen, they have a passion to scale heights that some would say are unreachable, to find things that many consider lost for good, to discover that there are places you can go together than you could never go alone. And let's read Acts chapter 16. We're going to be in verse 1. We've got a lot of fun names here that we're going to talk about. Acts chapter 16. Okay, cool. It says, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Now, while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. In the last verse, so the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. So here's what we have tonight. Paul, pretty famous guy, wrote the majority of the New Testament. This guy, after planting some churches, comes back, and there's this guy, Timothy. And this guy, Timothy, is standing out. Timothy, his mom was Jewish, his father was Greek, and something happened to Timothy. Timothy, the Holy Spirit was moving through him, and Paul was like, you are going to travel with me. Let's spread the gospel together. So, because he was Jewish, and majority of the time they were bringing the gospel to the Jewish people first, and then to the Gentiles, like Jesus says, you're giving them to the Jewish people first, Paul goes, listen, you're not circumcised. We got to do this circumcision thing. If you don't know what that is, ask your parents. Now, this was a big deal in Jewish culture. This was something, and I looked it up because, I mean, dang, dude. I mean, really? I don't know how old Timothy was when this happened, but he wasn't 8 days old, like is what is told to the Jewish people, so that these little kids never remember this. But here's what I was able to find as far as what people are saying, why the circumcision is so important. To the individual, it is a visible mark of the flesh. It's something similar to a scar or a tattoo, something that just every time you look at it, if you can remember, you know, you got a scar on your arm, you got a scar on your face, it tells a story. If I was doing this thing, if you look at this and you instantly can remember why it is that you have this scar or tattoo, you know, it means something to you. That is one of the reasons why circumcision was such a big deal when it came to God saying, listen, this is going to be my covenant with you. As 2022 Americans, and we don't really understand what a covenant is. It's like a super duper pinky promise thing from God. Like, it's, we don't have anything. Like, one of the things that I admire about Pastor Ron so much is he is a man who keeps his word. There was one time we were getting ready to make a church decision, and he said, we have to do this. It was a super inconvenient thing for the youth, and he said, we have to do this. We gave them our word. And all the people in the youth department looked around and said, Pastor, no, you didn't. And he goes, oh, I didn't? Okay, then let's not do this thing. This is great. I thought I gave my word. And so, it, you know, we don't really understand that, especially for me outside of, you know, Pastor Ron. I don't know if I've ever really had a man be an example of what it means to keep their word. And so we see God here in covenant scripturally, he says, listen, if I say I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to keep it all throughout your generations. And so what God was saying is this mark, this visible thing is going to be a mark of a covenant that I'm making with you, that it's almost like this club. Now, if you read in the Old Testament, you will see that this club is actually really inclusive. God tells us that if, okay, all you Jewish people, but even your bond servants, circumcise them. Anybody that you have working for you, circumcise them. Anybody who wants to be a part of the family, circumcise them. Which is also why it's such a big deal when Paul comes in and he starts talking about, you do not have to be circumcised if you follow Jesus Christ. So now everybody on the internet's like, contradiction, the Bible's not legit, I'm going home or I'm turning off the feed. We got to talk about this real quickly. The reason why Paul was saying, Timothy, at your age, we're going to go, we're going to spread the gospel, but you got to get circumcised. Everyone's like, oh, look at legalism. Timothy was about to speak to Jewish people. This was something that he had to do if the Jewish people were going to listen to him. Oh, they should have just listened to him. It's not fair. Holy Spirit should have rocked them or killed them like Ananias and Sapphira. God should have just done this thing. You don't have to live by the law. Jesus did this. Hold on. If I came out here tonight and I'm speaking to you and I'm sharing the gospel and the power of the gospel, but last night you and I got drunk, and last night I'm calling my wife on the phone and I'm screaming at her, I'm cussing at her, and I'm saying all kinds of disrespectful stuff. And I come out here and I'm like, let me tell you about the power of the Lord. You're gonna go, yo, how am I supposed to listen to you? How am I supposed to listen to you? Now, oh, that's legalism. It's okay to have drinks. Okay, yeah, but the Bible says don't get drunk. It's okay to breathe wine. Bible says don't get drunk. This is not about legalism, but it is about the integrity of the gospel. Because if this guy, as a Jewish man, is coming in and he's bending Jewish law, he's not abiding by Jewish law, he's actually saying, we don't need this thing at all. Look at me, I'm Jewish and I'm not circumcised. Those people are gonna listen to Timothy and go, you broke that law. Are you telling me that I'm gonna be breaking laws to follow Jesus? This is why it was important for Timothy. This is why Paul goes, listen, if you wanna be an effective vessel for the Lord, you're gonna have to get circumcised. And Chaboy said, yes. I love the Bible because it doesn't give time frames as to how long certain things take or whatever, but your boy had to heal. Or walk funny, I don't know. But this is something that Timothy decided that the gospel and the church itself was more important than the comfort of staying at home with mommy. Because that's what he could have done. This guy had a killer reputation. He followed Jesus. The Holy Spirit was moving inside of him. It was so evident that Paul came back and goes, whoa, people are talking about you. You wanna go further in your walk with God? And this is what we're talking about tonight. Do you wanna go further in your walk with God? And right out the gate, God or Paul tells Timothy, it's gonna get really uncomfortable. It's gonna get really uncomfortable. And if we see here, if you can remember, but if back room, if you can put it up, verse 5, it says that because Timothy made this decision, the churches were being strengthened in faith, and many more came to believe in Jesus Christ because Timothy didn't lean into his own comfort. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Timothy was a pioneer. You and I are pioneers, and if we are going to be what God has called us to be, it's gonna get uncomfortable from time to time. Because thank the Lord, Timothy got healed. He ends up writing two books in the New Testament. This guy, something incredible happened to him, but he could have stayed home. Abraham could have stayed home. Because it's interesting, Christianese is God's calling on your life. But you don't have to answer the call. You can sit back and when you're 84 and you go, man, I remember when God called, but I was really unsure. And I was actually really nervous and I knew it was gonna be uncomfortable. So I didn't. Because you and I are called to be pioneers. I'm talking to the men, I'm talking to the women. I'm speaking to challenge you guys today. Men, challenging you to see the power of when a man steps up to the call of Christ. I think a lot of times, you know, it's that idea, Nicole talked about it on Sunday, about that word submission when referred to women in Scripture. It's really uncomfortable. But then men, I don't know how you feel about like, oh yeah, the wife should submit because I want to do whatever I want to do and play video games for how long I want to play. But men, scripturally, you know that if you and your wife are arguing, God wants nothing to do with your prayers. Well, that's unfortunate. I thought that I could just do whatever I wanted. And I'm like, hey, God, I'm sorry. Anyways, I'm looking for that 65-inch screen TV and that raise. Let me know. I'll be over here. You know, like we think that that's, but God goes, hey, no, you're the head of the house. You got to be the example. And you better be in your word, and you better be praying, and you better be having these certain standards to hold throughout the home. Women, I also want to encourage you, challenge you, that in Scripture, when you see what a godly man looks like, that you don't settle for anything less. Dang, sorry, guys. Like, none of the guys were like stoked on being like Macho Man Randy Savage. It's all right. But you know, I do want to share, I don't want to share too many stats. I got kind of lost in the stats of the United States of America today in regards to the effects of a fatherless home and a motherless home. But if we want the world to stop what's happening, all of it, it all starts in the home. It all starts in the home. Statistically, if you look it up, 62% of teenage suicides happen from one-parent homes. God intended for the marriage to be the example of what our relationship with him looks like. That he would say, no matter what, I'm not giving up on you. Now, well, but Tom, I already got divorced and I did all that stuff. Hey, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about whatever circumstance that you're in. If God's speaking to you in that circumstance, if God's telling you, hey, this is redeemable, that we need to lean into that. But what I'm also, who I'm also talking to is for all of you future husbands and future wives, future parents. This idea that we're supposed to just fall in love and Disney painted it for us and we're just supposed to, you know, fly away on carpets and play around in Hawaii all day long, like that's just not reality. And what God wants us to do is get this pioneering mindset and say, okay, I need to be the kind of person that doesn't run away from discomfort, but embraces it, because if the Holy Spirit is truly living inside of me, he's trying to do something through this discomfort. He wants to do something through what it is that you're going through. He's trying to raise up some real men and some real women. Somebody posted on the internet about how, you know, all these loud people that are about this, that, or the other, basically said, you just didn't get spanked enough when you were a kid. Because, I mean, if you think about this, you know, there's just a lot of people who are just saying, because I exist, I should get my way. And I'm telling you that what God has set up is a sow and reap. All throughout Scripture, all throughout our lives, it's not magic, it's not anything else. It's what God ordained, that it is a sow and reap. If you make good decisions, good things are going to happen. And if you don't, then they're not. And so we want these lives where the Holy Spirit is moving and he's active and healings and blessings and whatever it is that looks like success for you. And you're like, but I haven't prayed for a single person in the last year and a half. How are we supposed to go deeper in our walk with God when we stay at home? How is it that we're supposed to do that? No jabs on the internet. I'm sure you're busy. But let's look at this. How did Timothy get to this place? I would like to bring up my first point. You got to develop the ability to hear God's voice. Tom, I don't even know how to do that. Well, John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, my sheep, oh, I give you the wrong verse. Well, somewhere in the Bible it says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. And they follow me. Did any of you guys have a whistle growing up that you knew was like your dad's or your mom's? I could be in a crowd and like, hurt! I was like, oh, that's for me. And that's the exact same thing that we would know God's voice when the enemy is talking. Oh, how we would benefit from knowing the difference between God, ourselves, and the evil one. how many times I have believed that the thoughts that I was having, that they were mine. And I go, oh my gosh, I thought I was past this. And then I hear that other voice go, that's not you. That's the enemy trying. And when you know that, you're like, oh, that explains so much. Oh my gosh, thank you, God, that I know your voice. Sorry, tech team, I'm probably blowing your speakers out. I'm just a loud guy. My mom said I never needed a microphone. But when you develop the ability to hear God's voice, you are literally hearing the voice of life. I wonder if that would be the answer to anxiety. Because you know, like when you're told, like, you can't do it. You can't. What if you just respond and be like, I know I can't, but God can. I know that I can't. That's kind of the gig I signed up for. I can't physically heal somebody. I can't pray for this thing to happen and then, oh shoot, it did. We can't do these things. And that's where the glory of God shows up, that he would be the one. And then you start realizing that all throughout scripture, it's a whole bunch of people that just said, all right, Lord, I can't do this, but I'm gonna follow you. And then what he did at the end of Revelation, he said, okay, now you keep doing this. One day I'm coming back for you though. And then we'll be together and you can ask me about any question that you want. And I look forward to that day. Second point, Timothy, let God bring the good. He let God bring the good. Imagine if Paul showed up and Timothy's just sitting there just orchestrating church and running all these different things and doing all this and doing all that. Paul's gonna walk up and be like, yo, homie, what's up? You ain't with us. What are you doing? Well, God told me that one day I was going to do this thing. He's like, you should have waited. You probably messed up a little bit. Let me talk to the congregation. Hey, everybody, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, we didn't know about that. Timothy never told us about that. He goes, all right, Timothy, you're out. Go somewhere else. We got to clean up your mess. Because how many times have we been in situations and circumstances where somebody, you know, you're talking to him or whatever. This happened to me. I was at a concert, bumped into a guy. I said, hey, man, how's life going? Going good, man. God told me to go to New York. I said, all right, that's cool. When are you leaving? I'm leaving in like a month or whatever. Saw him like 2 months later, still in town, still in Bakersfield, still doing his thing. Do I believe that God told him to go to New York? Sure, but when? Sometimes we just jump the gun. God told me I am not gonna be single, so I'm going out to the clubs. Okay. Because a lot of times, what we like to do is we like to go when God gives us like that little inkling. But we are supposed to live off of rhemas. We're supposed to live off of these things. There's a verse in Matthew, I hope this is the right one, Matthew 4:4. Yeah, there we go, cool. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I've seen this exhibited through no one better than Pastor Tom Touchstone. I challenge you to bring him a problem he doesn't have an answer for. I challenge you. No, don't do it. Give him a break. But I'll be like, hey, pastor, so we got this thing going on and blah, 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 blah. And he goes, huh, well, what have you thought about doing this? And I go, what? No. And then you find out in conversation with him, this dude prays a lot. He'll go into the sanctuary and then come out and he's like, okay, I got the plan. We're gonna do this, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do this. An example of what it looks like to not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth. Because you know, I don't know, maybe you don't know this, maybe you do know this. You know we're not supposed to be stressed. You know that's gonna kill you a lot quicker than anything else. I thought I was just supposed to manage it. No, we're not supposed to be stressed. We're not supposed to worry. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 that we're not even supposed to be anxious at all. But because it's a trend, everything we do makes us anxious. And when I was in high school, we didn't talk about anxiety. That didn't exist. And then now, everybody's anxious all the time. Me talking about it, that you don't have anxiety, you're getting anxious about it. But I do have it. What am I supposed to do? Pray. We're not supposed to live by any sort of workout routine, by any sort of social media scrolling. We're supposed to, with the things that we worry about, we go into our prayer time, whatever your closet is, your car, your closet, whatever, and you go, God, what am I supposed to do with this? Majority of people is, God, are you ever going to be bringing me somebody who loves me for me? Are you going to bring me a job? Are you going to bring me this thing? Do I have to worry? And you guys, I'm telling you, it works, because I've always been like a love bird kind of guy. Like, I always had to have somebody to love. I don't know who I am, but I always did. I always had to have a girlfriend. And so then I'm doing the Christian thing, and I'm dating, and it's just another one bites the dust. And I'm just like, God, where is she? And I remember grabbing my Bible, and I sat in my room, and I just go, okay, God, I'm going to flip the page. I'm going to point my finger, and you're going to speak to me. And I kind of like shook it off. I was like, oh, shoot, okay. I'm about to find out if I'm going to be single for the rest of my life or if I'm not. And I'm just like, I paced. I was like, woo, okay, because I'm gonna have to do this. Oh, okay. All right, God. All right. You're going to speak to me. I was like, no joke. And I was like, okay, hold on a second. I'm not ready for this, because I got to get ready for this. All right, Lord, you're going to tell me that I'm single. I'm going to be okay with it. Boom, flipped it over, pointed it, said, two is better than one. I said, booyah, baby. And it was just, it was so good, but I was crazy single for a long time after that. But I just kept holding on to that verse. Two is better than one. Two is better than one. Come on, Lord. And it works. It happens. When you get that rhema and someone then goes to you like, hey, bro, maybe you're meant to be single, brother. And it's like, heck no. I don't care what you have to say. I don't care what they all look like. God told me that I'm going to have a chick. And when you walk in that, though, when you have that rhema from the Lord, and maybe God's telling you to start your own business, and you're like, but that's scary. But God, if God goes with you, if God's telling you, hey, I know that you married into this, and this older kid doesn't really respect you, but God's telling you that you are going to be the figure in this person's life that they need, you're gonna have to put up with some stuff. But God told you that you are going to be there for them and you are going to be what they need. Even though they're shutting you out and they're texting while you talk to them, God is trying to do something, and he spoke to you about this. Just too often we just find ourselves in these situations. Well, this was hard. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to pray about something else. The third point, renew your mind. We know this verse, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be transformed. It's so easy to fall into the traps of making sure you have every subscription so you can watch every show so you have something to talk about with your coworkers. Did you see Stranger Things? No, I was too busy watching Hulu and trying to keep up over there. Well, did you see Disney Plus? No, I was too busy watching Paramount Plus and Peacock. I can't keep up with all these shows. And I'm supposed to be a Christian who prays, reads the Bible, and prays for his family. It's physically impossible. And then we can't figure out why. We've only been to church once, and we were late. We're not supposed to look like the world. We're not. We're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A reminder, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Sweet, 6 minutes. Number four, endure. Don't worry, I got the definition for you. The intransitive verb, to continue in the same state, to remain firm under suffering or misfortune without yielding. The transitive verb, to undergo, especially without giving in. To undergo, especially without giving in. You and I are to be pioneers. The first in our families to maybe get involved in church, to start a Bible study, to pray with your kids every single night before they go to bed. But Tom, I have not done that. And they're like 14, 15, 16. Well, brand new creation. You got to start thinking differently. And we got to help these kids out, because if they don't know how to pray, they ain't doing it in college. They're getting taught something else because they're worried about other things. But we are a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. So what does endure look like? My kids gave me the perfect example today. I love them so much. My daughter's 5. She wants a cell phone. She ain't getting a cell phone. My son is 2. And he watches my daughter have a fake Barbie cell phone. So he wants that cell phone. Why wouldn't he? He takes a fake photo. It talks about how Barbie wants to hang out. Why wouldn't he want to have something that is animated and stuff like that? But what he doesn't know is I have a very, very, very old Motorola flip phone, and it's all black, which is his favorite color. And so I have it, but he's holding on to his sister's thing. And I'm sitting there and I got stuff to do around the house. And my daughter's like, hey, dad, he won't give me the cell phone. I said, okay, son, hey, you got to give that to your sister. That's hers. I saw you actually take it from her. You got to give it back. And so what does he do? He just holds on to it. And he looks at me. I said, son, I need you to give that to your sister, please. And he just looks at it. Starts playing with it. Scarlett's over there. I said, son, I need you to walk it over. I need you to give it to your sister, please. Scarlett, come a little bit closer. Maybe the distance is too far for him. Jeremiah, I need you to give it to your sister, please. This dude, like, no joke, I don't have anything that looks like a cell phone. I got this remote right here. This dude, so like, if this is my daughter, he goes, I said, son, give it to, honestly, 5 minutes of putting up with this. I'm 32 years old. I have a life to live. I can't be messing around with this child of mine. I've got the backup phone. I'm trying to teach my son a lesson that he doesn't know that this thing's coming, because we gotta teach our kids. We gotta raise them up. You're gonna do good just to do good, but then find out, boom, here's the phone you actually want. Here we go. And so I had to do it. And finally it happens. That's what endurance looks like. That you just don't quit. Finally I bust out the phone, gave it to him. Everybody was happy. But that's endurance. When it's not easy, when it's actually really inconvenient because I got stuff that I got to do. When it's actually really inconvenient because my kids won't remember this moment, right? We justify things like that. It doesn't matter. Just give them what they want. Just shut them up. Just who cares? Give them tablets. Give them this. Give them that. Treat this person like this. It doesn't matter. I'll make it up to them later. But God is calling us to pioneer a new way of living. And what it will do, ladies and gentlemen, what it will do is it will lead to the strengthening of the faith of those in the church, and it will cause people to want to know more about our God and the love of Jesus Christ. Pioneering is so much more than just being the outcast and doing something different just to be different. God is calling us to do something because it is glorifying to literally everybody involved, to worship together. Imagine that loved one. Imagine that best friend from high school. Imagine that person that you care about that's not here. Imagine if they were sitting right next to you and they knew about God the way that you knew about God. If tonight is convicting because you can't honestly say that you pray with your kids every single night, if you can say that you don't make time in the morning to get alone with God, or even in the evening to get alone with God, if this is convicting for you, that's okay. It's okay to feel the Holy Spirit saying, give me more of me, of the Creator, of God. Because you know how in Scripture it says those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the Bible says they'll go dry and hungry. That is not what it says at all. Y'all should have corrected me because you're Bible scholars. Will be satisfied. Sometimes it takes a loved one getting into a hospital. And that's when we scream out to God. But what if we don't even ever have to go there? And we go, God, because this is what I pray over my kids. God, if there's any cancer, any tumors, any diseases, any viruses, I pray in Jesus' name that you would get rid of them right now. That might sound a little bit over the top, but they don't have cancer. They don't have tumors. COVID flew through them like nobody's business. You couldn't even tell they had COVID. My kids are good. And I see that the way that my life is going and my relationship with my wife, and I go, like, my wife and I, every now and again, we go, hey, this is a little too good. Something, we're about to go off a cliff. Like, something, you good? How's our finances? Like, we okay? We about to yell at each other? Like, what's going on? But isn't that what it's supposed to be? In Scripture, we see people who are close to God and the blessings that they live in. Like, what kind of gig is that? God's like, hey, sign up with me. You're going to be poor. Everybody you love is going to die. Sign up. Let's do this. But you get heaven. It's like, what? Why would we want this? But you and I, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll just basically end. Yeah, I can end right there. Sorry, back room. I know you really wanted to click that last verse. It's going to be difficult. It might take you going home and clearing some stuff out of your refrigerator. It might take, if you were here on Sunday or watched it online, you know, Nicole talked about those people that would call you and just change their contact, delete their contact. Maybe it takes you getting involved. It doesn't matter what campus you go to online or people here from the Northwest. Maybe it takes you getting involved or showing up to our prayer nights. Maybe it takes you just getting uncomfortable. Because we see with Timothy, it got really uncomfortable for him for a minute. But the church began to grow. And you know what will happen when moms and dads begin to set the example for their kids? You're not going to have to worry about who they hang out with. My daughter was hanging out with a friend on the 4th of July. We accidentally bumped into him, and they just were two little chicks running around. It was adorable. And I felt like God told me, that's one of the friends you've been praying for Scarlett for the last 5 years. And I was like, that's right. I forgot that I've been praying for the future teachers and coaches and friends and people that'll be involved in my kids' lives. And to see it happen in front of me, I go, I'm not gonna have to worry. I don't have to worry about what kind of trouble they're gonna get into. I'm not gonna have to worry about where they are, because I know that I'm sending them not only with angels, but I've been praying for them and prophesying over them this future that they'll have with their Creator and God's will over their life. Your kids need that. Dang, we need that. There have been a handful of times I've been praying for my kids. I was like, I could use that prayer. Start praying that over myself. Praying for your coworkers, paying attention to them. But Tom, I like my lunch break by myself watching anime. I'm sure that you do. But maybe you're gonna be sitting next to somebody that you've been, I don't know, coworkers with for years. And in conversation, you're gonna hear that their marriage is falling apart. And you're gonna lock it in your brain. You're gonna start praying for them. You're gonna hear that their wife isn't doing too well. They actually were just in the hospital. They can't figure it out. And you go, is it okay if I pray for you? I mean, I don't gotta pray for you right here. I know that's probably really weird, but I'm gonna pray for you. And next thing you know, you now brought God into the workplace all because you turned your phone off and were a human being to other human beings. This is what God's trying to do through us, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about just holding on to our life raft until we get to heaven. But it's about, Jesus said, and I'll end with this. Oh, I'm so sorry, Vince. Pastor Ron, everybody. 4 minutes over. Gonna go five. But Jesus said that the gates of hell won't be able to stand against us. Maybe you didn't know this. Did you know that gates are a defensive weapon? They're not an offensive weapon. It's not a spear. They're defensive. That means the church is taking ground against the enemy. That we are going into his territory and going, no, because these people that I work with, these people that are part of my family that I got to see all the time, these people deserve the gospel. And so even when they have their defenses up, it says even the gates, the defenses of the enemy won't be able to stand against what you and I walk with every single day. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you, I pray for you to be pioneers wherever you go. Keep the pioneer mindset, because I'll tell you this much. Pastor Ron talked about it and I love it. The enemy ain't in here. He's out at the parking lot. He's waiting for you to do something with whatever it is that you have. This plan, this thought, these people that you're gonna start praying for, the enemy doesn't want it. Endure. Endure. Let's pray and then let's get out of here. Let's pray this. Father, I just thank you in advance for what is about to happen. God, I don't know how many people are listening, how many people are here receiving, but God, I ask that you would strengthen us tonight. Strengthen us. I'm gonna go through something too, God, strengthen us. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would guide us, that your voice would be so much louder than the enemy that we've become all too familiar with. Give us the strength that we need to endure. Let us know, God, that this trial that we're gonna go through or maybe are already in the middle of, it has a shelf life. It's not forever. You have a plan for us that's filled with future and hope. And I thank you in advance. God, if there's anybody in this place that does not know you as their Lord and their Savior, I ask that you would give them the strength to come up and get the prayer that they need, for these people will be brand new when they leave here tonight. God, we thank you in advance for what you're gonna do. We love you, God. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We'll see you guys later. Come on up.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our love.